Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles. Now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Emergency Swarmcast on this Cinco de Mayo morning. David Eichel, Sean Bock, HawkeyeInsider.com. For good reason, Sean. I mean, Iowa lands, I would argue, maybe in the top three transfer portal additions, certainly among the receivers. Iowa has officially landed Ohio State's wide receiver transfer, Caleb Brown. Now, before we really dive into this, Sean, I think it's important for people to have the full context of the background that went on in this. So Caleb Brown entered the portal. You know, I'll do what's happened the last couple of days. Let's rewind even farther back. Sean, I want to, because you covered his recruitment a little bit, can you give us his high school recruitment, how he ended up at Ohio State, and kind of the ties he had to the staff?
Yeah, so Iowa was involved early in his recruitment. I really didn't bother too much to cover it as much as I, you know, maybe could have, because it felt like that he was going to be a top, you know, 247, top 100 guy. And yeah. Once Notre Dame, like I think Illinois was the first offer, first Power 5 offer for him. Iowa was close there. I know they stopped by St. Rita a couple times. That's Seth Wallace's neck of the woods for his recruiting area. But once Caleb started getting those blue blood offers, I think it came down to Michigan, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. And if my memory serves me right, I think it was down to Michigan and Ohio State for some time for him. And there was a lot of, you know, Michigan or Chicago area guys going to Michigan at that point. So makes sense why there was some buzz for the Wolverines. But, you know, when Brian Hartline's making you a priority, you can't turn that down. And Brian Hartline is the Ohio State wide receiver coach, you know, the head man of arguably the top receiver room in the country, rivaling that with Alabama the last couple of years. So it was something that Brown couldn't turn down. And he ended up in Columbus. And, you know, fast forward a year, it's kind of ironic that his one reception was against Iowa this year in that blowout game in the Shoe. But yeah, I mean, fast forward to now, and you know, he's a Hawkeye. It's kind of crazy to think about that, because, you know, going back to his recruitment, obviously the blue blood schools were very involved, but you know, it's just kind of wild to think about how the transfer portal, you know, kind of makes things, you know, different now with, you know, guys looking at schools that they were looking at during high school and then ended up picking those staffs. And getting Caleb Brown is a massive addition, not just the fact that, you know, I know a lot of people kind of look at it and say, well, he only had one catch last year. Like I said, this dude was being coveted hard by Brian Hartline, and he had a pretty good spring, if I recall correctly. And, you know, that
he was going to be, he was going to be in the rotation this year, 100%.
Yeah. And that's saying something. I mean, he immediately becomes the top guy in the room for Iowa, and there's no debate about that. He's just a dynamic playmaker and a guy that you can kind of move around everywhere and, you know, just watch him work. And that's something that Iowa really needed.
No doubt. So I appreciate that, Sean. So let's dive into what's happened over the last couple of days. So Tuesday night, I started hearing rumblings that Iowa was going to get Caleb Brown on campus. Had a couple good sources on it. Didn't feel good enough to even go on our message board about it, just because of how highly coveted he was coming out of high school and how dynamic of a player he is. So I texted our colleague, Alan Trieu, Midwest scout for 24/7 sports. I'm like, hey man, is there any way you could talk to a couple sources to confirm this? Cause I'm hearing rumblings. Big shout out to Alan for the assist on that. Got the confirmation, posted on our message board. And Iowa, probably rightfully so, Sean, was trying to keep it under wraps. I mean, that's kind of the way they've operated through this transfer portal process. That's just kind of the way they operate. That's completely fine. But Iowa's selling points to him were, one was proximity to home, which you reported on, Sean, that it was a very big factor in this decision. He wanted to be close to home. He was very tight-knit with his very tight-knit family, got a good community back in the Chicago area, only about 3 hours away from home compared to Columbus. And he wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the man. And I think he looked at Iowa's offense and said, hey, you know what? And Iowa's pitch is like, you're going to be the most talented guy in the room. Without a doubt, he's the most talented player in the room right now. Now, is he going to be necessarily the best immediately? I don't want to go that far, but could he be by the time September 2nd rolls around or halfway through a season? Absolutely. He's got that kind of upside. So Iowa sold him on that, and he formed a really good bond with Cade McNamara, and McNamara was recruiting him hard on social media. Those two talked on campus. Xavier Wampa was, you know, all in his Instagram comments, social media, trying to get some buzz. And what we had heard was Oklahoma and Texas A&M were also going to try to push for a visit. Maybe, you know, who knows what would have happened. But Thursday morning rolls around. You and I are in constant communication, Sean. We put some tidbits on our message board for our VIP members, kind of breaking down the visit. And I think you and I had a very good feeling about Iowa in the recruitment. It was not a done deal from what we had heard at that time. But I remember I called you around maybe 3:30 and you and I kind of talked about it. You and I kind of contemplated putting in a crystal ball. We decided to hold off because, you know, with the resources Oklahoma and Texas A&M had, if he makes those visits, you know, we kind of want to hold off on that. And I do regret not throwing in a crystal ball because there was a lot of sources and a lot of things going in Iowa's favor. But it was one of those things where you had to see it to believe it. Can Iowa land the highly coveted blue blood wide receiver? And they did. By 24/7 Sports Composite, Caleb Brown is the first top 100 player to a top 100 wide receiver to commit to Iowa. That's per 24/7 Sports' Chris Hummer. Huge addition. I mean, Sean, this is a guy, very good speed, outstanding hands, crisp route runner. He would have been a rotational player in an incredibly stacked Ohio State wide receiver room. There's a lot of reason to be excited about it. I know we've criticized Brian in the past, criticized Kirk for not using the transfer portal. Maybe outside getting another big receiver, Sean, I don't know what more they could have really done throughout this process. They've addressed the needs. The personnel is upgraded. And it was based on my column this morning. Brian say he did the best with what he could last season. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not going to fly this year. But you got to give credit to Brian. You got to give credit to Kirk. Because on paper, this looks like a significantly upgraded offensive unit for Brian Ferentz.
Yeah, and I was looking at Hawkeye Game Film tweeted something, too, about his point system with, you know, additions and guys coming in. And with the inbound offensive transfers, it was a total score of 36, while the outbound offensive transfers was a score of 20. So I think that kind of tells you what you need to know when impacting. You know, obviously, we have to see it on the field. Like, Brown has not totally proven himself in game field or game time situations in college yet, but he did it in practice and, you know, moved his way up the depth chart. And, you know, you said it about him and wanting to be the man. I think it was more so just playing a significant role and knowing that he was going to have a significant role in the Iowa offense. And I think having Cade McNamara there was critical for him. And not just, you know, having Cade McNamara, but having other options like Ohio or Iowa having those tight ends. I think that's something that's really going to help, you know, Caleb Brown. And he could be a centerpiece of that offense for the next couple of seasons. He has 4 years of eligibility remaining. and he has what, you know, you need in a big time playmaker. Like, he can make plays in short routes. He can make plays in intermediate routes. He's got good speed. I mean, he's got good straight line speed. He can make guys miss in, you know, small areas. He's got some strength to him. Just a dynamic guy that, you know, might not just be a threat on offense. Like, he could potentially be a return man for Iowa too. I think Cooper DeJean probably has that spot right now, but I think it also depends on what Iowa does at cornerback in the portal, because they need another cornerback. That is the remaining question mark with this team. I mean, Antonio Carter The second is from Rhode Island. He's supposed to come up for an official visit next week. We'll see if that still happens. There was some talk that he was going to go to Wisconsin, almost committed to playing for Luke Fickell and the Badgers, but, you know, ended up holding off, and he's going to take his Iowa official visit, last I checked, starting next, I know it's May 10th. So that'd be a Wednesday to Friday. So, I mean, if Iowa can secure him, that would be huge, because, you know, you're filling, I know a lot of people are not overly worried about cornerback because they're like, oh, we have Cooper DeJean, Jamari Harris, which, don't get me wrong, is a very good duo, but you need more than three cornerbacks in the room. Yeah. And I mean, Carter, yes, played, you know, at the FCS level for Rhode Island, but there's a reason why he's getting these, you know, he's being heavily pursued by Wisconsin, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Kentucky, because he can, you know, be kind of a guy that's flexible. He can play in the boundary. You know, he can play inside. You know, he can kind of do different things that you need in a cornerback, and, you know, could be a really good third piece for Iowa in the cornerback room or in the secondary, because, you know, we saw what happened last year in that Nebraska game.
Yep.
Iowa missed having that reliable third cornerback. And, you know, TJ Hall can be that. TJ Hall, I think, is going to have a good career at Iowa, but I think he might be a year away from being that guy. So getting Carter now, that's kind of the main priority. We'll dive into, you know, other stuff soon, but just kind of looking forward, that's one piece where Iowa still really needs to add.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the worst fear, I think, for this Iowa defensive staff is exactly what happened in that Nebraska game. You know, Cooper got knocked out, and Iowa had to throw some guys that hadn't necessarily played a lot of football up against a former five-star wide receiver who just ran right by them for a pair of scores, and it's tough to blame the cornerbacks when you're going up against that talent. But again, they and that's where people are still writing me about, hey, is Cooper going to play offense? He can't. Like, he could, but if you had any hope of him playing offense, getting Caleb Brown eliminates Cooper DeJean playing offense. And I thought it was eliminated before, but now that they have another proven weapon back there, not proven, but, you know, the upside of being proven, I think that shut the door there. But I think, again, Brian and Kirk deserve a lot of kudos. I think Caleb Brown is a very good complementary piece to the tight ends. I think they can help make each other open. So, again, Iowa has the pieces. And Brian's not been a proven play caller, but I will still push back against anybody who says Brian Ferentz does not know football. He knows how to coach. So now it's about him coaching and putting those players in a position to succeed and to utilize their full skill sets. And on top of that, Sean, we haven't even mentioned this. This is going to help Caleb Johnson. This is going to help LaShawn Williams. Like, having perimeter threats with a pair of pretty good Big Ten running backs. Again, I don't want to say his offense is dangerous, but this offense should be expected to take a big, significant step forward just based on the personnel they have. And now you have a quarterback who I think has brought a very different sort of swagger to that room. Eric All is going to be determined to prove his back's healthy to make the NFL. Like, the pieces are in place, and I know we're going to talk. We have months to talk about this, but I put in my column, and I was kind of like this before, but getting Caleb Brown kind of solidified it. It's almost Indianapolis or bust to me. It really is. I think that should be expected of the team. But I'd also argue that getting this much talent, Sean, and still having the performance-based objectives being 7 wins and 25 points, I think it makes that look worse just based on how much they've upgraded. Like, I'm like, you think fans are going to be happy with 7 wins and finding out that Brian keeps his job and gets more money next year? And that includes the bowl game. If Iowa doesn't win the Big Ten West, I think fans are going to be incredibly disappointed in the season. No two way about it.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's Michigan and Iowa in the Big Ten championship, then the Cade McNamara, JJ McCarthy storylines are going to be ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, looking at this wide receiver group too, I think you have a clear top three in Nico Reganey, Caleb Brown, Deontay Vines. Obviously, you can pair those tight ends with them. And then behind him, I mean, this puts less pressure on guys like Seth Anderson and Jacob Bostic to have a big role this season. I know Bostic's been battling injuries since he got to Iowa City, had a really good winter, but just hasn't been able to stay healthy, was on a scooter to start the spring, and, you know, is supposed to be back this summer. Seth was dealing with an injury too. He's a big-time playmaker, guy that, you know, isn't necessarily your prototypical X because he's listed at, like, 5'10", 5'11". No, I think he's more around 6 foot, around there. Sorry, I was thinking of Nico. Caleb.
Nico.
I was thinking of Caleb, sorry. He's a big-time playmaker, guy that, you know, you can kind of throw up jump balls to his side with his size. And, you know, the main thing that Iowa liked in him was that he's a yards after catch guy. But, you know, that transition from the Big South to the Big Ten is not, you know, the easiest one to make. And, you know, that puts less pressure on him to make that immediate impact that, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting him to make when he committed to Iowa based on the way that the wide receiver room looked at that point. So, Getting Brown, like I said, puts less pressure on Bostic and Anderson, two young guys that I know the staff's pretty intrigued about, excited about. And it's just a huge get, like just the way that you can use him and the way that you can just be dynamic with him in the offense. Now, you know, it's up to Iowa to do that, and it's up for the offense to, you know, get that out of him.
Yep.
But, you know, you have him in place, and that's what you need right now.
I think it was much needed for a fan base that was desperate to have a pulse of a playmaker on the outside and just the potential. Like, people were excited about Cade, and obviously Cade's been the big domino in this entire offseason, in my opinion. Eric All, getting him with Cade, huge. People were excited about that. People were excited about the O-line. But what was the one constant thing that everybody kept saying, Sean? Wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. They got Seth Anderson, nothing against Seth Anderson, but they wanted more than one wide receiver. Getting Caleb, I mean, it's massive. I mean, it's not something Iowa is accustomed to. But that, again, I think that shows that Caleb has faith in the offense. He has faith in what he's going to be able to do because he's a very quiet kid, comes from a very good background, good family. He seems like a smart kid. He knows football, and he's a dynamic playmaker throughout his football career. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how much Iowa relies on a guy who has played 27 snaps. But I would also caution people, it is nuts. Like, I think there should be some expectations of him because of the upside, but this is a guy that's still going to have his own learning curves this season. So if you're looking at him to be wide receiver one and put up 1,000 yards this year, I think it's a hard-pressed bet. Now, does he strike me as a guy that can score a handful of touchdowns, maybe get you 400 yards? Yeah, and if that happens, Sean, that's outstanding, especially if you get Eric All and Luke Lachey as the primary guys and Caleb Johnson's running the ball well. It's like you don't need Caleb Brown to be this big playmaker that has 1,000 yards. They need pulse on the outside to help open up the middle for Eric All, for Luke Lachey, for Caleb Johnson, for LaShawn Williams. You just need to be able to do that. And the guys in the middle need Caleb Brown and others just to open up the perimeter just to keep an easy threat. Because you could tell, by the way, people were defending Iowa last season. They didn't care who was on the outside. And I wrote this in my column, Sean. I don't know if we've really ever dove in this number. Iowa, over the last 2 years, has averaged 6 catches a game by wide receivers. I don't know what that would be in the rest of the country, but I would be shocked if that's not bottom five, at least. Maybe there's some obviously run-only teams, but getting Caleb Brown is at least a pulse. It injected some life in the fan base. It got some excitement, I think, going. And I think it opens up the playbook for what Brian and Kirk will want to do. Because whether they – you know, I know they said that they're going to do the same things and better. But I also believe that their playbook was extremely limited based on the personnel that they had last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's the big thing. I think personnel can rival or, you know, outmatch coaching in a way. I think personnel is more, I mean, don't get me wrong, coaching is very, very important. But I think you can get away with certain things if you have the personnel to do so. And I think that's where Iowa, you know, hit a home run this offseason is up in that personnel and getting those guys that can be those factors in the offense. And, you know, a big upgrade from last year. Like, that's important. A big upgrade from last year. And, you know, we talk about quarterback play. Obviously, that's vital. Running back should be improved. Tight ends will be one of the best in the country. Wide receiver is better. But at the end of the day, I know we said so many times it comes down to offensive line play. And, you know, I think this unit's going to take a step forward. I think, you know, there's belief inside the program that it's going to take a step forward. It just needs to come to fruition. And, you know, if that happens, everything should fall into place the way it should with this team and with this personnel that they have.
It's going to be a fun season. I really do believe that. It's going to be a fun season to cover. I think fans should be excited. And I've said it before, and I'll wrap it up with this. This is Iowa's best chance to win the Big Ten for the foreseeable future. Because first-year head coaches at Purdue, Nebraska, Wisconsin. I think Fickell's going to be really good at Wisconsin, but it's a first-year coach. Based on what Iowa returns and you know who they have, I think they should be favored to win. Illinois is a wild card for me. Iowa's schedule lines up perfectly. They have a Big Ten champion quarterback. They've made upgrades. They have a defense, special teams. And the divisions are still intact. This is the last year of East and West. Once USC, UCLA join, Iowa's probably going to have to go undefeated in conference play to reach a Big Ten title. And I think that's going to be very significant to watch. So if Iowa wants one more shot in Indy, at least for its best chance, quote unquote, it's going to be this year. And I think Kirk kind of knows that. He'll never admit it, and I understand that. But I think that's why they've gone so aggressive in the portal, and that's why I still believe that there's untapped potential with what Iowa's going to try to do offensively. Because if they believe that the same thing as last year is going to fly, it's just not. Everybody in the country knows that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I know Kirk would never admit that. I know the coaches would never admit that. I know the players would never admit that. But, hey, I mean, Cade McNamara said it in his first media, you know, appearance with the Iowa media. What's the goal? Like, why'd you want to come here? I believe we can win Big Ten championships, or, you know, we want to win Big Ten championships. And, you know, they have the pieces, I think, to do it. Just a matter of, you know, executing and putting it all together. And I think they got a pretty good shot at it. And like I said, would love to add an X receiver. They're sitting at 84 scholarships right now for the fall. So that could be, you know, a little tight. But I think with the personnel that you have a receiver, yes, not having an X receiver is ideal. But I think you have guys that, you know, you can work with that can improve, you know, this offense. And, you know, like I said, talk about the tight ends. That's going to be a key too. So the pieces are in place.
It's up to coaching to put him in position to succeed and how he operates and how they move him. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. But for David Eicholt, Sean Bock, be sure to stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com. Stay ahead of the news. Get a VIP subscription, 30% off. Follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBuck247, and at Hawkeyes on 247. And we will talk to you soon.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.